Hi, you are listening to Record of Change. My name is Matthias and I'm your host for this episode. Record of Change features the stories of individuals from across the world about how their lives are being shaped by the COVID-19 pandemic. This is episode 7 of our third season. We listen to our interviewees at several points in time because we want to follow the stories of how their lives are changing. In today's episode, we listen again to Fida Shorab from Gaza City. We have already learned about her perspectives in season 1 and 2. Fida is a fundraising and project officer for an NGO, the Atfalona Society for Deaf Children, which facilitates support and empowerment to people with and without disabilities. In today's episode, Fida will share with us the current status of the pandemic in Gaza and what she personally has learned from this big challenge, especially after being infected herself. Let's listen to her. Thank you for joining us
again. Thank you, Matthias. Thank you for having me again with you.
How are you doing? How's the situation at the moment around you?
Now in Gaza, the complete restriction were removed. So no lockdown, no curfew, everything is allowed. Movement in the public places. Schools are back again, but with high precautionary measures. So we have from 150 to 250 cases per day. So it's a little bit controlled, but I'm not sure if it's controlled or people just fed up from these restrictions, because living in Gaza, you're living within restrictions, and imposing more restrictions makes life more difficult to us. So even those who have some kind of symptoms just deal with it as a kind of a flu and don't go to the test. So it's all psychologically a reflection of 1 year of being completely living under high restrictions, but now it's enough because it's very challenging to continue this way.
This would have been also my next question. Is there still fear? I mean, how do people react to it?
I don't think there's fear. You know what? It's strange how people react after the complete restrictions were removed. It's like you see people not wearing the masks in the street. It's like we have already controlled the virus, or we have killed it, but we did not.
So now, before we talked, I checked the news to see the numbers of positive cases in Gaza, and luckily they are decreasing. But as you already said, are they really decreasing, or is it just less people getting the test? What do you think?
Yeah. No, it's not decreasing. People do not get the test. Because at personal level, I've been infected in January, actually, me and my family. So, okay, maybe our condition at home is better than many families in Gaza, but it's very stressing to stay for a long period of days at home doing nothing. And I can imagine those who have difficult home circumstances and those who have livelihood hardships, how it would be for them to be at home, isolated, not being able to go out to get food or even to earn their income. No, it would be difficult for them. So no, he won't go to the test because he will be isolated, he and his family. So he would live with it, especially if it's minor symptoms. And I know many people who are doing the same. They don't get the test. It's clear that it's corona, but they're not going to the test because they would be facing so many difficulties at the economic level.
Mm. So you just said you have been infected and your family too. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes.
How was that for you?
Yeah, actually, I discovered this by coincidence. It was on the 1st of January when I suddenly felt that I don't smell anything. I was at work at the office and I tried to smell many things and no, nothing. Especially that I'm a person that has strong smelling sense. So all of a sudden I can't smell even coffee or perfume, nothing at all. So I went at home and I took the test and it turned to be positive. I isolated myself at home in my room. But after a week, my family got the test. Unfortunately, I have discovered that I have already passed it to my family members. And so my isolation was extended, me and my family again, for 21 days. We stayed at home isolated. Fortunately, I had minor symptoms like no fever. It was mild. And my families did not have any symptoms, only my father who had some coughing and difficult symptoms, but he could manage. But other family members, no symptoms actually. At the personal level, I felt like I'm on a vacation. Okay. But I was managing my work from home because I have to manage the work and the workload. Staying away for a long period of time make workload even worse. So when I'm able, I was doing the work, I was trying to read, I was trying to have fun. It was a learning experience as well to know how it feels to be isolated, how it feels for those who have difficult living conditions, and to think how do they manage their necessities being isolated and not being able to access to medication, food, hygienic materials and everything else. Yeah, I can imagine why people refuse doing the test, because it's difficult actually.
I'm happy to hear that all your family and you experienced it well. How did you feel the moment you found out that you're positive, and what else did you learn, and also together with your family?
Yes, learning that I was infected, it was shocking. I didn't think of myself at that moment. I thought about my family, because my father is old and my mother as well. So this is what came to my mind. Especially I was doing well with mild symptoms, not really severe or dangerous. But at the same time, I tried to keep my worries inside of me, because I didn't want to pass any negative feelings to my family members. And I tried to act normally. And one thing that I have discovered, when you feel like under pressure or being worried and anxious, it can actually increase the level of the symptoms, and you might get sicker or something and not feeling well. But when you act normally, when try to be positive and charge yourself with positive feelings, it's all about how you think about the things you're being confronted in life. And then during the first week of my isolation, I was acting normally, positively with everything, doing the work, doing some home sports activities, reading, watching comic shows and everything. And then when I discovered that my family were infected, I was the one who received the result at my mobile. So that's shocking. I really got very worried about my mother and my father, and I didn't know how to tell them actually that they are infected, especially my father, who has some chronic illness. So like for an hour, I was just sitting at my room thinking how I should pass this news to them. So the first moment that I felt that I was infected, because I really got tired at that moment, because I was very worried and anxious. Then I've decided to tell all the family members except my father that we will tell him that everyone is negative. It's only me that I am infected. No one is infected at home. But for precautionary measures, the Ministry of Health decided to extend our home quarantine. And I asked him to go to the hospital just to do the checkups, just to make sure that he's okay. But we did not tell him that anyone was infected except me. So I used to sit with them wearing the face mask. So not to note that anyone is infected, just me. He had some symptoms, but I'm sure if he knew that he's infected, he will be in a worse condition. But when we just dealt with it normally, not posing any psychological pressure, it went very well. It's all about how we deal with it and how we presume the condition of being infected. If we think that it will pass, we will be better. This is the lesson that I have learned from my experience. Yeah.
And does your dad know by now that he was positive too?
No, never. Yes.
Oh. So you had to do the quarantine for 21 more days, is
yes.
that correct?
Yes.
Then could you just go out again, or did you take another test? How was the process of going out of the quarantine?
Yeah, the protocol did not require doing another test. Just spending the whole quarantine days. And then the first day I went out, it was the first day going to work back again. It was normal, actually.
But you can smell well again and everything's fine again?
Yeah, it took some time to get back to smelling and tasting things. But now it's very much better.
And do you... I'm sure it was kind of a shock, especially when you knew you might have passed it to your family. But looking back at it, maybe it's a stupid question, but is it sort of a relief that you already went through it, you went through it fine, and now you might be a bit safer for at least some time?
Actually, yes. It's a sense of relief that I have been infected and now I'm being in a better state and I won't be getting it or even passing it to anyone. So, but still, I think the studies and the health research did not really discover everything about this virus. So I'm still taking all precautionary measures the same as before, and even more conscious about doing all the protective measures, because people might be having it without symptoms like my family members. And even the symptoms differ from one person to other person. And still this is not clear to those scientists. So Okay, it's a sense of relief that I've got it, but still, I might be getting it again and again now or after 3 or 6 months. That's why it's a strange virus, actually, and the only thing that we could do is taking the precautionary measures.
So last time we spoke, I think it was beginning or mid of November, and shortly after that, I went to Ramallah for 2 weeks, and I was... Yeah, frankly speaking, I was shocked that hardly anyone was wearing a mask and keeping distance. And I talked to some Palestinian friends there asking, what do you think? Why is that? And I got very different answers. So some of them were saying, well, we don't have the economic welfare that we can just stay at home. But others were also saying, you know, it's maybe the religious upbringing of God gives, God takes. And others were saying, well, as a Palestinian, you live under constant pressure, so this is just, it's just a little bit more.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, it differs everyone how they see it, actually, and how they react to the current condition and this virus. It's different. But as you said, because we have been living under so many difficult circumstances, wars and siege and political instability, so people have been like, okay, it's normal. It's part of life. We're dealing with it. And if we could manage, okay. If we couldn't, it's okay as well. So, yeah, I don't know. Now, after the removing of all restrictions, it's very strange how people are dealing with it, as if there is no coronavirus in Gaza. So I was in the public market 2 days ago, and I've seen people like walking in the streets, not wearing the masks. No, removing the restriction does not mean that we have killed the virus and or we have found some kind of solution to it. No. But people, yeah, how do they, khalas, it's fine with us. We were fed up with this situation, yeah.
And how is the work going at the moment? I mean, it's now been almost a year that you're dealing with restrictions of the virus. I mean, how is the work going at Falona?
At work, it's very crowded with many deadlines and projects. And most of the projects that we're designing, we're taking into consideration the impacts of the coronavirus and how it has impacted people. And what if it will be getting worse in the future, and those interventions should be built on the current situation and the future impacts and effects. What we'll be doing, it's not clear to us, because everything is related to the current situation. And since the current situation is not even clear, it's like making things difficult. And okay, now we're back normal to the work, but with high precautionary measures, like still we're working remotely, but we'll be bringing students to the school, but with a certain schedule, not to make it crowded for them. But at the same time, we're working on launching inclusive e-learning platforms to respond to the coronavirus situation, but at the same time, to make education accessible to all students with and without disabilities, even in times of corona or even in normal situations.
Yeah, I can only imagine a little bit how difficult it must be. I mean, over here, I'm talking to you from Germany again, and people discuss a lot about young students that have to stay at home, and they miss a lot. And of course, you cannot learn as much via e-learning yet as you would do in a physical, normal class. So people are also discussing a lot, like, what would be the long-term impact on this, let's say, this generation, or on these young students that maybe also don't get the support at home that they would need to catch up. So I guess you also make these long-term plans for not leave anyone behind, no?
So, yeah, this is what we're trying to do. It's like not only responding to the situation, but also responding on the long-term. We're trying to build their coping mechanism, empowering them, and make sustainable solutions for them so that they can live a normal life, even if there are severe crises going on.
I want to take a step back again to the virus and how to fight it. I read that the first vaccinations have arrived to Gaza. What is the current situation?
The only thing that I know that they have already started the day before yesterday, and they're doing it with the health staff and those elderly. But they did not announce it, like, for the people and where are the units that will be doing the vaccines and what are the criteria and how you can register. They did not announce it, actually. So it was shocking for me to read it through the news. Like, we have a vaccine in Gaza, but where are the units that you can register elderly people to take it?
There are two ways to have vaccines coming into Gaza. It's through Rafah border or Erez border.
Yes.
And I read that there were difficulties at Erez border to get them in. And as I read yesterday, some vaccines made their way through Rafah border.
Actually, there are political reasons behind not having the vaccine into Gaza or even in the West Bank in a very smooth way. You know, this is part of the political siege and everything else and political factors. Not only for the vaccine, everything in Gaza has some kind of difficulties when it's coming through Erez border or even Rafah border. So it's also part of the life that we're living in. Even the tests, there were times there were no tests available in the Ministry of Health because of not allowing them through Erez crossing point. So, yeah.
Mm. Again, I don't want to deeply discuss politics, but I know that in Gaza especially, like, nothing is not political, right?
Yes, everything is political, yes. Everything, yeah.
Okay, just touching it a little bit, I read some weeks ago that there might be elections coming up. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is
that correct? Yes. In May, there will be elections held in May in Gaza and the West Bank.
What are your expectations?
Nothing. Because, I don't know, okay, maybe it's something internal and external at the same time. Because we have been witnessing Palestinian drift for like more than 10 years. And we are, as a people, we have lost hope in having true leadership to the Palestinian, because this drift has caused us so many problems internally. At the external part, we have noticed that we don't have the right to choose. As the same as in the past elections, whatever the choice is, it should be respected by the international community. And I don't know how this election will be going on. And what if the international community did not accept the decision of the people? And what if the decision of the people was not the thing that we all Palestinians hope for, like having true leadership to lead the Palestinian cause and the Palestinian people to something better and brighter future? The Palestinian people, it's not only Hamas and Fatah, or the West Bank government or the Gaza government. So what we hope for and we would like to have is true leadership that, before thinking about the political parties' interest, think about the interest of the people, the interest of our country, the interest of the land. This is what we're hoping for.
We're still kind of in the beginning of the year or in the early stages of the year. Mm-hmm. What are your hopes or expectations for this year?
Actually, as I said, I think in the first episode that we don't know what's coming. Still, I don't know what's coming, but I hope for the best. And I know that we will manage anything that we'll be having with our faith and hope. I hope that this situation caused by COVID-19 will be ending very soon and life will be going back to normal.
You just said something which, of course, many people say and I read in many places, going back to normal. And let's say part of me supports this thinking of back to normal. Of course, there was good about the normal before, but not everything has been good. So my question is, how would you hope for a new normal? Or what positive do you get from the COVID-19 pandemic?
I think the COVID-19 has been a threat, but also an opportunity to think more about the solutions and how to cope. So I have learned to be supportive to each other. It's very important for coping and being normal. So to the new normal, I hope that people would be more supportive to each other, would be understanding the challenges that everyone have in his or her life, and to understand each other more and more. And whenever there is something wrong going in life, to think about the solution rather than the problem itself.
And do you personally already take some takeaways to, okay, now I experienced this strange virus myself, I want to change certain habits or routines in your life?
Yes, I think I've taken some good steps after being infected. Like, I'm really addicted to coffee now. No, I stopped. I only have one cup of coffee, more walkings and more readings, more healthy habits are being adopted, trying to relax as much as I can and to enjoy life, because part of it should be enjoyed.
Okay. Do you have any questions for me? I always ask you.
Yeah. What's the new normal for you would be?
So, as you know, for me, last year didn't only bring a pandemic, which is a bad news for the world, but on a very personal level, the good news was that I became a father. And this combination made me be much more careful and much more considerate. So for me, to put it into one sentence, last year, all these changes brought a bit more settling, you know, calming down, focusing on what is really important.
Yes, good. Thank you very much for this nice interview.
Thank you, Frida.
Thank you.
This was episode 7 of our third season of Record of Change, featuring Frida Schorab from Gaza City. If you liked this episode or Record of Change in general, we would love to hear your feedback, and even more so if you would like to share it with your networks. Follow us on your favorite podcast provider or on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, or our website, recordofchange.com. If you would like supporting independent podcasts, we would be honored for you to support our efforts to bring you unique stories from across the world through being a Patreon supporter. For those supporting us on Patreon, you will have early access to episodes and behind-the-scenes insights from the Record of Change team and the opportunity to pitch questions for our interviewees alongside us. Even the smallest level of support can be a great boost as we strive to document the impact of COVID-19 on communities throughout the world. This podcast is implemented with and by members of the Bosch Alumni Network, a community that brings together former and current fellows, grantees and staff members of the Robert Bosch Stiftung and its partners. Thank you for listening.